We're talking about the things that we get to look back upon and bring into our memory, and that makes us feel better about how things are going, and that, you know what, God's got our back, so to speak. Amen. And in these praise and worship songs, I begin to think about this, and it goes along with what we're talking about today, the resolve. And I actually have two goals for us. I want us to remember and learn from your slavery and deliverance. And then number two, let that memory strengthen your resolve that you have for God. And then nothing in this world will shake us. And we're going to be strong, and there's a peace and a comfort in that. As we enter into this new year, 2021. Anybody happy about that? Come on now. I know you're happy about that. Everybody eat you some black-eyed peas? You better. No, not. I'm just teasing. I don't want to feed into any superstition. I'm not saying that's wrong or right. I just thought I would bring it up as a joke. So some of us I know ate some black-eyed peas, and for whatever reason, they're good. You know, I was thinking about that, and the Israelites did the same thing, kind of, sort of. Not because of superstition, but because of a memorial. They were told in Exodus when they ate the first Passover and later other meals like the festival meals like the Seder. You've probably heard of that in the Passover. They have certain foods that they ate. And what it did is it created a memory. It made them remember the things of the past so that they could spread that out to the next generation, to their kids and their grandkids and so on. One of the things that they had to eat that I thought was kind of odd is they were ordered to eat bitter herbs. And the purpose of these bitter herbs was so that people would remember the slavery. So there's a point in remembering the slavery. Because when you remember the slavery, you remember possibly how you got hooked into that slavery. And you also remember the power of God that brought you out of that slavery. And then you're not a slave anymore. But they ate these bitter herbs to remind them of that. And some of the bitter herbs were like the green leaves of some vegetables, like radish, horseradish. Have you ever ate the green part of a horseradish? Or sometimes they had, the green part of lettuce is considered a bitter herb. And there's a list of them that we don't actually grow a lot in Oklahoma. I think around here on our land growing up, Mom made poke salad. Anybody ever had poke salad? Oh, see, there's some country folk here in Choctaw. Poke salad. Oh, my goodness sakes. That's the nastiest smelling stuff. I don't. But Mom and Dad had to have poke salad every year. Bitter herbs. That's what I'm reminded of, the bitter herbs. She'd go down in the woods, literally just go down the woods. You just pick it, harvest it, boil it. And later I found out it's actually poison unless you prepare it properly. And see, we're doing just fine. But they had these bitter herbs. They also had something else I thought was interesting. They had a little bowl or a little saucer or a cup of salt water. And they would actually dip some of their bread or some of their herbs or whatever in salt, this salt water at a certain part of the meal and eat that. And I've never tried that on purpose. And what the salt water did is it caused them to remember the sweat and the tears of slavery that they were in. It was done as a memorial to help them remember not only the slavery, but the deliverance. Read with me in Deuteronomy 16, 9 through 12. Now, this is after the Passover meal started. Later on in Deuteronomy 16, 9 through 12. You shall count 7 weeks for yourself. You shall begin to count 7 weeks from the time you begin to put the sickle to the standing grain. Then you shall celebrate the Feast of Weeks to the Lord your God with the tribute of freewill offering of your hand, which you shall give just as the Lord your God blesses you. And you shall rejoice before the Lord your God, you and your son and your daughter and your male and female servants and the Levite who is in your town and the stranger and the orphan and the widow who are in your midst in the place where the Lord your God chooses to establish his name. Verse 12, you shall remember that you were a slave in Egypt and you shall be careful to observe these statutes. You see, they had feasts and holidays and meals that they were actually commanded to participate in certain specific ways in order to remember where they come from and their deliverance. And in order to take that memory and pass it along to generations later. And as we venture into this next year, and I understand the jokes and the memes and getting rid of 2020 and being through with that and all of that. However, there is an opportunity for growth coming out of a tough year. There's an opportunity for Thanksgiving coming out of a tough year. We made it through it. We made it through. God has given us a way to get through this. Now, first off, let me say, I'm not trying to compare the last year that we had here in America with the hundreds of years of slavery that Israelites had. I'm not trying to compare that. It's not quite that bad. But I am saying the principle is the same. Setting up something or doing something to remind ourselves of where we were. What direction were we headed? Does anybody ever remember a time in your life that if you'd have kept heading down that direction, it's a good possibility you may be dead or in jail today? Raise your hand up again. No, not really. My hand was up. Now, when I think about those times in my life, and I think about the love and the forgiveness and the grace and the mercy of God, anything that I go through today just isn't quite that big a deal. Amen? It makes us feel better about what's going on when we get the true truth. Now, another thing that some people may say also in this comparison is that, you know, some of us lost important people in our lives because of 2020 and the things that happened. Some of us didn't make it out alive, to be just quite frank about it. We lost people that we love, friends or family, or maybe our business has suffered and we're not out of the woods yet when it comes to our finances or our business. Now, what we have to realize is that the Israelites were in the same boat, though. We look at the Israelites as a people, a nation, a group of people that were together. There was probably, scholars believe, a little over 1 million that probably exited out of Egypt that day. But not everybody and their families made it either. Some people did not survive the years in Egypt in slavery. Some of them, I'm sure, lost businesses. And yet still, they were commanded to take part in this memorial about their deliverance, about from where they've come. And actually, if you think about when they were first commanded to eat of these bitter herbs for this memory, they weren't out of the woods yet either. They were actually still in Egypt when they were first commanded in Exodus 12. They were still in Egypt plagues have just happened when they ate the first Passover, and they were commanded to eat these bitter herbs to remind them of their slavery and their deliverance. And interesting. In the New Testament, we find also that we, as Gentiles, if you're not of the Jewish bloodline, we also have some things that we're supposed to remember. In Ephesians 2, 11 through 13, if you would turn there with me, please. Ephesians 2, 11. Therefore, remember that formerly you, the Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by the so-called circumcision, which is performed by flesh, formed in the flesh by human hands. Verse 12, remember that you were at that time separate from Christ, excluded from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were formerly were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. See, we as Gentiles, if you weren't born into the Jewish bloodline, it was quite a task to become Jewish or to become a chosen child of God. And some people did that, but it was somewhat rare when you consider the population of the world. The Gentiles, by and large, were not bound for heaven. Their direction was death. And that's why we celebrate and get to celebrate communion, because we celebrate the blood and the body of Jesus Christ that now brings us to God in such a way that we can also be daughters and sons of the Most High God. And that communion is a memorial to us that we once were separated from the Garden of Eden when there was sin introduced in our lives, separated from God, and now we're able to come back to Him and have a relationship with Him. And I think about this as we examine memorials and setting up practices that encourage us in the future and encourage us to spread the same message to children after us. And I think about the memorials in the Bible that caused people to remember. There's Joshua when he took the Israelites across the Jordan River, and it was miraculous, and God stopped the waters, and they built a memorial there. Moses and some of the other major prophets and leaders of Israel built memorials around their wells and their altars. The Israelites, as we talked about, had their feasts and holidays. We have communion that we carry on that helps us remember. It's a physical activity. It causes us to remember why we are free and should be so thankful for what God has done. But there's something to remember about memorials. Memorials would never happen if there wasn't some sort of a breakthrough. None of these memorials happened without first a breakthrough. None of the breakthroughs happened unless there was first an obstacle that seemed impassable. Amen? A breakthrough only happens when something becomes difficult. Otherwise, it's just the next step, right? It's not a breakthrough at all. It's forgettable. Nothing. But if there's a wall here, an obstacle, something difficult that I have to power through that needs the hand of God to get me through it, then it's a breakthrough. For instance, there was this slavery. So many hundreds of years, they didn't know that they would ever get out of it or not. They kept praying and praying. It seemed almost impossible, and yet there was a breakthrough. The Red Sea, a breakthrough. When Moses went through the altar up to the mountain with his son with no sacrifice. We had a breakthrough. There was something difficult to go through, and then breakthrough happened. Coming up on the Red Sea with the enemy hot on your tracks, God says, I am going to make a way. Then they come to the rushing river of Jordan with over 1 million people, all of their livestock and belongings. God said, I'm going to make a way. Daniel was thrown into the lion's den, certain death, probably, seems like it. God said, I am going to make a way. Thrown into the fiery furnace, God said, I'm going to make a way. I was a sinner. I was separated from God. Didn't deserve anything but death. And God said, I am going to make a way. Amen. Isn't that awesome? Over and over throughout history, the history of mankind, we find ourselves on occasion running into an impossible situation. You might have that happen to you today or this week. Remember, God is saying, trust me, I'm going to make a way. Remember your captivity and remember the deliverance from that captivity. When you face a trial today, remember the breakthrough that you experienced yesterday. There's a comfort and a strength that comes in remembering what God has done and being resolved to live in that faith regardless of what may come. Resolve. It's my focus word for today. Resolve. One of the definitions I loved reading, it says fixity of purpose, stick-to-itiveness, resolute, determined. Here's a definition that I like. Daniel 3. You'll turn there. You'll remember the three Hebrew dudes. Daniel 3, starting with verse 16. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to the king, Oh, Nebuchadnezzar. I can just see them. They're probably trying to hold back a little bit of a giggle. I don't know. Oh, Nebuchadnezzar, silly, silly man. We do not need to give you an answer concerning this matter. If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the furnace of blazing fire. And he will deliver us out of your hand, O king. But even if he does not, let it be known to you, O king, that we are not going to serve your gods or worship the golden image that you have set up. That's resolve. Regardless of anything and everything, that's resolve. They made up in their mind that they are going to stick with God and have a relationship with him no matter what. It's almost like saying this statement. See how you feel about this. My God is able to deliver me from dying of the COVID-19. But if he does not, I will die loving my Savior. I will die loving my God, and I'll be thankful that I was able to commune with his Spirit every day. Now, that doesn't seem like a very faithful statement. I get that. Almost makes you feel uncomfortable. But I feel like, in my mind, is the ultimate faith when you're able to stare death in the eyes and say, nothing is going to shake me. When you can stare an obstacle right in the face and say, I am not going to be moved from my passion and love for my God. Because I know that God's going to get me through. I don't know what that might look like, but I know that God is going to get me through. And I'm resolved in my spirit and in my body and in my mind that nothing is going to shake me from my relationship with God. Every single day, I will be resolved for what God has for me. Paul said it the best, I think, in Philippians 1:21. He says, "For as for me, to live is Christ, to die is gain. That is the perfect definition of a win-win. It's a win-win. Now, a lot of times when we speak of resolve, and we consider this story of the three Hebrew guys in the fiery furnace, and we also think about Daniel was very resolute and resolved not to defile himself with the king's foods. Remember that beginning of Daniel? Daniel 1, 8 through 9, if you'll turn there with me, please. Daniel 1, 8 through 9. Daniel was actually royalty. Some people may not remember this, but he wasn't born just a normal kid. He was actually royalty. He was in the lineage of King David. So he was royalty, a royal household. The Bible actually also tells us that he was actually a handsome guy and that he was smart. Okay? And now, in Daniel, we read about this as a young boy that he was kidnapped along with some other guys his age or around his age and taken to a foreign country by a foreign king and forced into labor. Daniel 1, 8 and 9. But Daniel made up his mind that he would not defile himself with the king's choice food or with the wine which he drank. So he sought permission from the commander of the officials that he might not defile himself. Now God granted Daniel favor and compassion in the sight of the commander of the officials. Resolve. And as a matter of fact, God blessed Daniel so much he became a high-ranking official in the king's court for four different kings and for a lot of scholars think about 70 years he worked as a high-ranking official in that kingdom. God blessed him greatly. You realize that he was around the age of 80 when he was thrown into the lion's den. Just the fall alone would have done me in at 80. Unless God made a way. Yeah, he was about 80. And that was also resolve that got him thrown in there, because the rule was he wasn't able to pray anymore to anybody but the king. And he said, no, I've made up my mind. I'm resolved. Now, a lot of times in sermons like this, may I have a Kleenex, please? An unused one? I saw John bringing it, and I thought, I better clarify. Thank you. Thank you. Pardon me. Now, many times in sermons like this, when we talk about resolve, we get a little bit excited because we think about, you know what? Bring it on. If the government tries to shut this church down or keep us from praying, and we buck up and we're like, yeah, I'm resolved. I'm going to be a Christian for the rest of my life. Big things like that. Very grandiose idea of standing up to anybody that's going to get in the way of our Christianity. But I propose that that may be easier than the actual day-to-day things we face in our lives that require just as much resolve. Sometimes it's the small things in life that require the most resolve. What are some of the little things that distract us from our resolve, day-to-day stuff? I started feeling kind of sickly a couple of weeks ago, and I realized, as I began to think about it and pray about it, that fever, the way I felt, began to affect my resolve. Now, it wasn't affecting the fact that I'm a Christian or that I'm going to go to heaven or anything like this, but I resolved to put God number one in my life as a high priority, right? And I wake up and I quote scriptures and I pray and I believe in health and all of this, except for the day that I woke up and I have fever already and feel bad. So, yeah, it's like, oh, I'm here anyway. Let's just get this over with. No, that's not resolve. A virus affected my resolve. The little things. It's not the government coming after our guns or anything like that. It's the little things that we face every day that requires the most resolve. What if it's little things like, what about the weekend or a vacation? I've got today off. I'm not going to do anything. Man, I know how you feel. Me too. Somebody said, I'm going to do nothing, and I'm going to do it really slow. And I probably won't get finished with it, and I'm going to do the same tomorrow. And that's fine. We all need a break. However, if I have made God priority one, I at least need to say hi. Amen? I can't ditch my spirituality because I'm on vacation. Is a vacation distracting me from my resolve? A sickness? Maybe a move or a new job? Maybe it's the death of a friend or a loved one. Kind of catches us off guard, changes our focus, our spirituality, our reasonings. Maybe it's a Facebook post. Have you ever lost your Christianity over a Facebook post? I've had to get resaved many times after a Facebook post. What little things are causing us to deviate from our resolve? I believe even the enemy realizes that it's not the big dramatic things that's going to throw us off course. As a matter of fact, that would only strengthen our resolve. We would all gather together arm in arm and get after it. But it's the little things. Jesus talks about it a little bit in Luke 8 when he shared the parable of the sower, the seeds and the ground and the soil. Luke 8:7. Other seeds fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew up with it and choked it out. And he explains it in Luke 8:14. The seed which fell among the thorns, these are the ones who have heard. And as they go on their way, they are choked with worries. They're choked with riches. They're choked with pleasures of this life and bring no fruit to maturity. These thorns are growing from the same soil that the fruit-bearing bush is growing. They're breathing the same air. They're drinking the same water. They're probably in the same garden, the same row, the same sunshine. It's there all around them. But the thorns were not pulled appropriately, and they begin to choke out. They begin to deviate the resolve of this plant to grow up and produce fruit. Slowly distracted day by day. No longer influencing others towards God. Every day, that's resolve. That's when resolve happens. 1 Corinthians 15:58. 1 Corinthians 15:58 says this. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your toil is not in vain in the Lord. 2 Corinthians 12:8-10. 2 Corinthians 12:8-10. Concerning this, I implored the Lord three times. You remember when Paul had the thorn in the flesh in his side? Messenger of Satan sent to buffet him. Concerning this, he says in verse 8, I implored the Lord three times that it might leave me. And as he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I will rather boast about my weaknesses so that the power of Christ may dwell in me. Therefore, I am well content with weaknesses, with insults, with distresses, with persecutions and difficulties for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. God may not seclude you from trials, but he will always give you the strength to endure and overcome, which will then make you stronger and better. James 1, 2 through 4. This is one of those scriptures that you usually have to read a couple of times because it's a little tough to hear. But he says, consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. And let endurance have its perfect result, so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. Remember, the lacking in nothing comes after being joyful in a trial. That's tough to do. We can say it, and we can read the scripture, and we can say, yeah, amen, whatever, until that morning you wake up and you realize that you're right smack dab in the middle of a trial. The words that they're using here is when in trial and testing is what they would do with gold to purify it. Because gold becomes, it's hard and brittle when it's got a bunch of other metals in it. And they purify it by putting it in the fire, and all the impurities come to the top. And they scrape it off, and then they have pure gold. 2 Timothy 1:12. For this reason, I also suffer these things, but I am not ashamed. Now, I love this part. Underline this part. Highlight it in your Bible. I know whom I have believed, and I am convinced that he is able to guard what I have entrusted to him until that day. That is very well put. Very well put, Paul. Good job. He is able to guard what I have entrusted to him until that day. So when you find yourself in these trials or something's coming up, I hope that before the trial begins, we have become resolved. We decide in our minds to be resolute about our relationship with God. Keep it growing. Nurture it every day. And then on the flip side of that coin, begin to influence others to do the same thing. That's our goal. Not to maintain Christianity. Don't do it. Our goal is to influence others to grow their relationship with God. But remember, sometimes you have to get down to, okay, I'm going to remember what God has done for me. I'm going to remember where I was. Remember the direction that I was going at the time. And I'm going to think about that and the freedom that God has brought me into. The deliverance, the miraculous power of God. Has God done something like that for any of you today? I want you to raise your hand. I want to see God's done something absolutely miraculous in your life to get you to this point. Allow that memory to strengthen your daily resolve about the things that you know God wants you to do. Let it strengthen your resolve about the focus that God wants you to see and the life that God wants you to live. Decide today to live this year growing closer to God and influencing others to do the same. And listen, remember this too. Don't be bothered, frustrated, or fearful if 2021 doesn't immediately change and everything's fine now. Don't be bothered if it doesn't. That's okay. Just think about where God has brought you out of. And think about God, where he is taking you. And then realize that only through struggles does greatness evolve. James 1:12, and I end with this scripture. Blessed is a man who perseveres under trial. For once he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Sometimes we have to remember where we've come from and the deliverance that God has given us out of slavery into freedom, to realize that things aren't near as bad as what we sometimes trick ourselves into believing. It's going to be good. It's going to be fine. It may not look like you expect it to, but the fact is, nothing is going to shake my resolve in my relationship with God. Would you stand with me, please? God, we thank you and we love you, and we seek today your strength in this time in our lives. We seek that whether we go through good times, bad times, mediocre times, lonely times, crowded times, stressful and anxiety, whatever we're going through, God, I pray that you will give us strength to remember your greatness, that your mercy is renewed every day, and that you have big plans for each of us, and to you, we are each a very big deal. I'm thankful for that, God. Please remind us daily to keep our resolve of making you the first priority in our daily lives, regardless of anything. Strengthen our resolve as we remember the wonders that you have done for us, the protection and your mercy, your love. Strengthen our resolve. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.